WBQC, People Powered Radio. WVQC LP Cincinnati.
We can rebuild him. We have the technology.
95.7 FM.
Better. Stronger. Faster.
Coming to you from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios, you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on WVQC LP Cincinnati 95.7 FM. Speaking for the legalization of marijuana. WVQCLP, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. WVQCLP does not endorse any political campaign or candidates. The opinions expressed on Hemp Rock Radio do not reflect the views of WVQCLP, Media Bridges, its staff, or Board of Trustees. The opinions expressed reflect the views of Hemp Rock and our guests. Thanks for listening. Welcome, Hemp Rockers, to Radio Free Queen City and the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress and joint hosts, the Burn Man and the Dope Boy Pot and Hash, featuring the Pottsbury Bakery and Hemp Rock Cafe on WBQC LP 95.7 FM, the voice of the Queen City.
WVQC.org 95.7 is online at WVQC.org. Hemp Rock is at HempRock.com, and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line is at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP.
To talk to us during the show, call 513-564-9600. That's 513-564-9600.
And now, here's Hemp Rock Radio with all things hemp, marijuana, the drug war, and more, including guests, music, news, food, and lots of fun here on 95.7 FM WVQC LP, low power to the people.
Hi, Hemp Rockers. This is the Happy Hemptress. The following program was aired on December 28, 2010 for Hemp Rock Radio's New Year's Eve program. Today's show consists of 1 hour edit of that program on December 28th. Our guest that day was Jerry Samuels, otherwise known as Napoleon XIV. To hear this program in its entirety, you can go to weedradionetwork.com for the original archive. Look for December 28th show with Jerry Samuels. Hope you all are enjoying the holiday and enjoying our holiday programming today. Have a happy day.
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha! You thought it was a joke, and so you laughed. You laughed when I had said that losing you would make me flip my lid. Right? You know you laughed. I heard you laugh. You laughed, you laughed, and laughed, and then you left. But now you know I'm utterly mad. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. I cooked your food, I cleaned your house, and this
is how you pay me back for all my kind, unselfish, loving deeds. Huh? Well, you just wait. They'll find you yet. And when they do, they'll put you in the ASPCA, you mangy mutt. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. To the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. To the funny farm.
This change in me, what can it be? Is it really true? If the answer is yes, then I confess, here's who I owe it to. Photogenic schizophrenic you, with your golden hair askew. I drool about your dual personality, 'cause I know that both of them are meant for me. Photogenic schizophrenic you, photogenic schizophrenic you. Your every mood is blue. You have gazed at no one else, I swear. You have told me by your vacant stare that my name on your tattoo.
Photogenic schizophrenic. With your 36 IQ.
Is everybody crazy?
Your tender kisses just as many thrills as if I took 20 tranquilizer pills.
Photogenic schizophrenic you. You have gained so very much renown in your strapless hospital gown. Oh, I will swoon with you through all my life, 'cause they won't let me have a fork or knife. Photogenic schizophrenic.
We are the Drug Policy Alliance. We envision new drug policies grounded in science, compassion, health, and human rights.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because it fosters debate on drug policy.
Because the war on drugs represents an extraordinary violation of human rights.
Because whether you use drugs or not, you deserve to be treated with respect, kindness, and dignity.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I'm a scientist.
Because the United States has the highest incarceration rate in the world.
We believe the war on drugs is really a war on people.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I want my children to receive honest drug education.
Because it's time to step out of our comfort zone and begin to tell the truth about drugs and our failed drug policies.
Because the war on drugs is a war on people of color.
The Drug Policy Alliance promotes harm reduction.
Because the drug problem is a health problem, not a criminal problem.
We promote new solutions to reduce the harms of both drug use and drug prohibition.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I believe in the right to sovereignty over one's own mind and body.
Because so many people are incarcerated.
I know. I spent 12 years in prison because of a first-time nonviolent drug offense.
Because I believe in personal freedom and personal choice.
Because the drug war
isn't that the war on drugs, it's
the war on people. I'm Tony Papa.
I'm George Soros.
I'm Sting, and I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I'm Larice Harvey.
I am Dr. Matilda Krim.
I'm Elizabeth Sarnoff.
I'm Montel Williams, and I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
And I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
We are the Drug Policy Alliance. Online at drugpolicy.org. Please join us.
Hi, I'm with the War on Drugs.
And I'm with Leap. Hey, I see you let that one get away.
Get away? What?
You let Michael Phelps go.
Ah, oh, he's such a nice fella. But we're going after those other scum, though.
Ah, yes. The wrong crowd we've heard so much about.
Those bastards just sitting there doing drugs.
Doesn't justice demand equal treatment under the law?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, how would it look, given the prison sentence or even probation to an Olympic gold medalist?
Yeah, what harm was he doing?
Right. I mean, well, he was hanging out with drug dealers, that's what he was doing.
Throw the book at him.
I can't.
Throw the book at them.
Now you're talking. Send our kids a message.
Yeah, swim faster.
Hi, this is Trey.
Hi, this is Crash.
And we're from
Natural Choice.
And you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City.
WVQC-LP Cincinnati.
On 95.7 FM and WVQC.org.
The voice of the Queen City.
Low power to the people. I'm so high right now.
There is two stories coming out of Aurora, Colorado. I'm going to do a quick headline for you, because if you missed yesterday's show, I think I just want to piss you off in the beginning of today's show, okay? We have a Hispanic doctor who is a medical marijuana doctor and prescribed medical marijuana licenses in the state of Colorado, and because they decided they want to go and bust this man, they went undercover, they claimed the cops really weren't sick, but he gave them the recommendation anyway, and then he gave a recommendation to a woman that he didn't ask if she was pregnant. Turned out later she's pregnant. Now, first of all, so what? Marijuana has been the number one medicine for pregnancy and nausea since the beginning of time. And there's nothing in the law that says he has to ask each woman if they're pregnant before he writes that recommendation. But they're taking his medical license because of this.
No, I heard the show yesterday. Now, isn't he Hispanic?
Hispanic.
Well,
right.
Yeah, I believe that's the point of the arrest right there. They need to make
they're harassing
make
Hispanics.
Example of the brown man.
That's exactly right.
Right.
Now, what's the white man doing in the same city? Did you catch the rest of that?
Just watching TV and paying no attention like usual.
No, honey.
No?
The same city that this doctor is losing his license in.
Oh, I heard the whole show. That's right.
The white guy. The white pedophile guy. Guess what he does?
Oh, man, all that pissed me off.
Guess what the white pedophile that's into child pornography's doing.
Right.
He's
a
dare officer.
It seems like, a bizarro world, man.
We are in bizarro world.
The moralistic people that are enforcing these laws
are the creepy devils.
Creepy weirdos. Yeah, they touching children.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And then they said, go in there and tell those kids drugs are bad for them. Pedophiles
right.
are okay, though.
Mm.
Yeah, same city, same police department. They went after the brown man for doing the right thing, and it's okay that this white guy, the pedophile, is teaching the children not to use drugs.
It's always a white guy, isn't it?
Isn't it? Always the white guy.
It makes me ashamed to be a white guy sometimes.
Yeah, I know. So this is a guy, Sergeant Morgan Selman. I'm gonna tell you his name. 39 years old, 14-year veteran for the Aurora Police Department. So how do you like that DARE program now? Send the kids in with the pedophiles. That's what I say.
Soon to be seen on To Catch a Predator with what's his name, Hanson, right?
That yeah.
What a sicko, man.
Man, what a sick country
that
and a sick world we are in right now, folks.
You need to turn in your badge, buddy, and just go turn yourself into prison.
Guys like that need to be in Longview.
Well, yeah.
Folks, it is Hemp Rock Radio. I'm the Happy Hemptress, and these guys are going to roll it up and smoke it, and then Jerry will be back with us in a few minutes.
We need more papers.
That's right. Hemp papers only, please.
First of all, let me introduce my guest. It is Jerry Samuels from, of course, Philadelphia and the Jerry Samuels Agency. We'll talk about what he does today in a few minutes. But I, first of all, want to thank you, Jerry, for being our guest today, 12 years after we did it for New Year's Eve back on the old station I used to be on. Thank you for joining us today. And how are you?
Lynn, first of all, it is not only a pleasure, it is a privilege to be of any sort of assistance to you and what you stand for.
Well,
my privilege indeed. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, and my privilege as well. I know a lot of people don't know who you are. They've heard your song. They don't know your story, and that's one of the reasons why I feel it's a privilege to have you on, because most people don't know this story, and I feel very privileged to be somebody who does know this story. And I'll tell you, we're going to talk about it in a few minutes, but I love my Jewish roach clip. That's all I can say. I think Burnman wants to say something.
Hey, Jerry, you'll need to talk a little louder. You're hardly registering here.
This is the best I can do for it. Can you get
that's me? That's a little bit.
That's
you
a little.
Stand on one foot and scream into the phone.
There you go. Well, tell your wife, thank her for helping out as well, and we just
Bobby Lynn, thanks you for helping out.
Absolutely. You know what they say, behind every good man, there's a good woman, right?
That's correct.
That's right. And sometimes there's bad ones, but we'll get to that in a little bit.
Right.
Now, of course, they didn't let you smoke marijuana in the facility. How did that come into play?
Let's see, I was 18 years old at the time. That was before I used marijuana. When I came out of the hospital after a few months, then I started to work on my career. And once I got a job at the studio, I met other engineers, and that's when I started to, one of them turned me on to, he had a garden in his bathroom.
Even back then, what year was that?
I must have been around 21 years old. So, 1959.
The year I was born.
It was probably before I was married.
So.
Or shortly after I was married. I was married in 1959. That's when
so,
I was married.
So, 51 years ago, somebody was growing marijuana in their bathroom even then.
What he was growing wasn't particularly good, but at least he was growing it.
Right. It was the beginning.
Right.
That's right.
Right. I remember my first situation. Now, what I smoked there wasn't what he grew. He had some pretty decent stuff. At the time, almost anything you got was very decent because there was no competition.
Right.
And I remember Johnny Carson was on the television, and it never looked so colorful ever. It was such a trip. It was wonderful. I loved it. I knew it was a great thing. I said, what are people yelling and screaming about this? I want this stuff.
Exactly. Well, I definitely want to talk more about this on the second half of the show.
Sure.
About how it relates to the issues that you had with some of your psych issues, that we'll say. Now, you know, we played this right as you were coming on to the show, the photogenic schizophrenic you. So we'll talk about that aspect of that song and how it relates to your experiences, and then how you made that transition with the marijuana into the song we're going to play right now. So stay on the line. You know the song. Listen up. Again, this is from Napoleon XIV, also known as Jerry Samuels at Hemp Rock Radio. Jerry, hang on the line. Listen to the song. You know what it's about, from Iowa. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Oh, Iowa lot to Iowa pot. Iowa grown and grand. I never knew such beautiful boo. Grew in this groovy land I'm in, and I'm indebted indeed to wonderful weed. Iowa raised and born. Oh, Iowa lot to Iowa pot. And that's not just Iowa corn. Well, I never cared much for domestic. I would always be turning it down. But I just smoked a joint so majestic, so fantastic. It's the best stick in town, and it blooms in this Midwestern section. And there isn't a glimmer of doubt. It could shake a Jamaica connection, 'cause it's cheap, deep, and far bleepin' out. Oh, Iowa lot to Iowa pot. Iowa grown and grand. I never knew such beautiful boo. Grew in this groovy land I'm in, and I'm indebted indeed to wonderful weed. Iowa raised and born. Oh, Iowa lot to Iowa pot, and that's not just Iowa corn. contraband from the land cross of the border is El Ropo and risky to get. While, of course, the exotic importer takes your order from his private jet. So just keep your Colombian ripoff and your shady Canadian scene, 'cause I'd sooner be singeing my lip off on some straight, great Iowa green. Everybody sing, I owe a lot to Iowa thought. Just Iowa corn. No, that's not just Iowa corn.
I'm not high at all. Let me just say that. Now, real quick, I do want to give a quick plug out for Media Bridges, our parent organization here in Cincinnati for public access, as well as WVQC. Now, of course, it is Hemp Rock Radio. I'm the Happy Hemptress, and we are going back to my very, very, very special guest, Jerry Samuels, on the phone. But before I do that, Jerry, we now have the Pottsbury Dope Boy, Chef Pot and Hash, rolling the pot for us. Jerry, yes. You there?
Yes.
Wonderful. Just get back towards that speaker a little bit better so we can hear you really good.
Okay, you got it.
Wonderful. Well, I'll tell you, just to give a quick overview for people that don't know, our guest today is Jerry Samuels, otherwise known as Napoleon XIV. He is the creator of They're Coming to Take Me Away, Ha Ha, and many, many other songs and vignettes. And if you didn't get to hear it, you can, of course, catch the archive hopefully by tomorrow, because we are back up and editing for the WEEDRadioNetwork.com. And so we want to make sure people get this story, because, Jerry, as you know, I love your story. I just think it's great, and I think people are inspired by it. I know I am, and I hope that other people are too. Whether they have issues or not, everybody needs to know that marijuana can help in all sorts of ways, and I think it certainly shaped your life. So the song that we just played, of course, was I Owe a Lot, or I should say You Owe a Lot to Iowa Pot, and that's also on The Second Coming, which is the 30th anniversary of a lot of his work. You can still get it through Rhino Records, of course. Jerry, tell us about, before we went to break, talking about when you started smoking marijuana after you had done some time in a mental facility that you chose to be in to help work through some of the issues that you were having.
Right.
So tell us very quickly, aside from the fact of what happened when you were a child, some of the issues that you were having, symptoms of some of the stuff, and then how, when you started smoking marijuana, how that helped.
I can't say that smoking marijuana helped or hurt, actually. I'm not sure whether it did or not. But I really enjoyed marijuana, and I've always felt that nobody has the right to tell anybody what they can and can't do to themselves, provided they don't hurt anyone else. I heard a politician during the, you know, we lost the vote in California.
Yes.
But there was a politician that was saying, and he was an anti. He wanted it. He wanted it not pass. He wanted us to lose. And he was saying, why in the world would we want yet another mind-altering drug available legally? That was his argument. And the response to that is very clear. If the people of California voted to pass recreational use, which, and the reasons they turned it down are ridiculous, but if they voted to pass it, then the reason is very clear. The reason that we want it is because the people have spoken.
Exactly.
What else do you want? If the people say we want it, then you have no right to say we can't have it.
That they're as working
long,
for us.
As long as nobody hurts you, as I say in the song you'll play, who are you to tell me not to smoke marijuana? If I cause you no harm, why should you care what I farm?
Exactly. Or ingest.
Just as long as I don't nick your nose,
exactly.
I want the right to swing my arm. Now, if you don't understand that, I'm sorry. I mean, I don't understand why anybody wouldn't understand that. If I don't bother you, you shouldn't bother me.
That's exactly right.
That's all there is to it. And if you don't see that, the drug war was lost before it began because the whole premise is wrong. And that's the way it is. That's why I'm here today. I will do anything I can to help.
Well,
anything. I lost the right to see two children of mine.
I know.
We were separated for 8.5 years because I was asked one question in that courtroom. Have you ever smoked marijuana? I made the mistake of taking the Fifth Amendment, which is what my lawyer told me to do. I'm sorry I did that. I should have said, objection, irrelevant.
Right.
But I didn't. I didn't. I took the Fifth, and the judge was nuts.
Yeah, I believe you're right. The judge is nuts. Yeah.
So I said, I took the Fifth Amendment, and her lawyer says, okay, no more questions, and now, Your Honor, I would like to call my client, which was my wife,
yeah,
ex-wife. And the judge says, that won't be necessary. I've heard enough.
Yeah.
And my lawyer gets up, and I'm going into shock. And my lawyer gets up, and he says, Your Honor, I object. And the judge said, I'll never forget these words, Lynn. I'll never forget them. Object. Object. Just look at him shaking over there. I think he's on the stuff right now.
Oh, my God. Now, for people that don't know
what
he's...
The right to see my children freely was taken from me.
Yeah.
And eventually, we were separated for 8.5 years. I will do
terrible.
Anything I can to help people who are doing things to stop those crazinesses from happening.
Absolutely. Now, of course, what Jerry's talking about is his divorce. And this is, you know, I tell people all the time, all you got to do is walk into any courtroom around this country specifically, any courtroom during the day, and not even the divorce court, but any court where there's alleged crimes that are running through in front of the judge, and you're going to find at least one case where somebody got into an argument with their spouse, and usually the woman, but not, of course, always, but the one half gets pissed off at the other one and then turns them in for growing or smoking pot. And then,
correct.
And then this is the kind of stuff that you get. And it is happening in the divorce courts. It is a tool for people who are pissed off at their spouse to use to pay them back and keep them from seeing their kids.
What happens is the children themselves are the ones that pay the price.
Absolutely, they are.
I had written something about that, as you know.
Yes.
And I have discussed this with my older son. My younger one I had two children, by the way.
Yeah, tell folks about that. I want folks to know this story, even though you can't tell the story.
I can tell you some of it.
Yes, tell what you can.
First of all, she wallpapered. Now, these kids were 6 and 9 years old. She wallpapered their room with every anti-marijuana article she could find.
Oh, my.
And it turned them around, not the way she wanted to, but the other way, because eventually when they realized that this was all baloney, both of them used marijuana eventually. One of them, unfortunately, took things too far. He became involved in hard drugs, and he went out one day and when he was 26 years old and was doing some sort of a deal. I didn't know what it was. And there was an attempt at a bust. He had a gun. He drew it, and he was killed.
Oh, my goodness,
by
Jerry.
By the police.
Terrible.
So, yeah. But
another victim of the drug war.
That's correct. That is correct. Another victim of the drug wars. My oldest son, my 50-year-old, doesn't want me to bring these things up. But I had written I read, well, who are you to tell me not to smoke marijuana was one of them. And in the same writing period, I wrote another one. And I am prepared to read the lyric, but I am going to bleep out the name because it uses the name of my ex-wife. That, I said to my son, I will not use on the air. But I think that the lyric, and you've heard the lyric.
Yes.
I think it should be heard because it tells what happened and how these things can happen. And I believe it should be heard.
I do, too. And I'll tell you.
Leave the children out of it.
You almost had me in tears yesterday when you read this to me.
It's a powerful, powerful song.
Yes.
Powerful song. And I'll read you this lyric.
Okay, please. Jerry Samuels.
We had a marriage that was sick. But what you pull now is a cruel and shameful trick. You drag the children down your path and make them wallow in the gutters of your wrath. The words fly from their mouths like daggers through the air. But everyone who hears them knows it's you who put them there. Daddy is a druggie. Daddy is a bum. Daddy smokes dope and he's nothing but scum. Daddy is a liar and a lunatic too. Bleep you, Daddy, we don't want to see you. Leave the children out of it. Leave them alone, bleep, bleep, bleep. Just leave the children out of it. Leave them alone, bleep, bleep, bleep. For God's sake, leave the children out of it. Leave them alone, bleep, bleep, bleep. That you protect is your excuse. Too lame to sanctify the poisons you induce. And soon, the blindness of their youth will swiftly vanish as they learn the shocking truth. And then you'll pay the price of teaching them to hate. For you will be the victim of the monsters you create. Daddy is a druggie. Daddy is a bum. Daddy smokes dope and he's nothing but scum. Daddy is a snake and a maniac too. Go to hell, Daddy. We don't want to see you. You've left your shattered pride contaminate their heads, and with your bitterness, you've ripped their lives to shreds. Leave the children out of it. Leave them alone, bleep, bleep, bleep. For God's sake.
Unbelievable. Take a deep breath, Jerry.
My wife thinks if I were to ever release that, it would be a hit. And I believe it would.
It would.
But I cannot release that because my son will not permit me to do it.
Well, I do understand his feelings. I mean, I really do. He lost his brother to this drug war. And I don't like to put blame on people, but it certainly is a product of, you know, it doesn't matter whether a nanny or housekeeper throws somebody under a blanket and holds them there till they're freaking out at a year old, and it's causing issues in adulthood because obviously that's going to hurt somebody, or if they lie to them about a parent or lie to them about the issue of what marijuana or things like that are about. Either way, it certainly caused an issue for your son, the youngest one, who then became a victim of our drug war.
Right.
You know, I personally, if you listen to the couple of clips of PSAs from the Drug Policy Alliance and LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, both of those organizations espouse the belief of ending the entire drug war, whether it's opiates, heroin, methamphetamine.
Oh, absolutely.
All of it. It doesn't matter.
Oh, absolutely.
Matter.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm not just saying marijuana.
Absolutely. Me either. We are. There's
you
some.
You want to do a drug? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
As long as you take care of yourselves. If you're not a charity case,
right.
If you're a charity case, it's a different story.
Right.
You know, I don't want to support you.
Yeah.
But if you're not a charity case, you take care of yourself. You want to stick a needle in your arm?
Do it.
You want to be stupid? Go ahead.
Do it. That's right.
Do it.
Just don't.
I'm not going to tell you shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you you're going to be arrested and thrown in prison.
Yeah. Unless you commit a crime. Unless you commit a crime
yourself,
while under it.
You've already hurt yourself. What are you
doing? That's
gonna,
right.
And that no drug ever caused a crime. It is the lack of the drug that causes the crime. You understand?
That's right.
That?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's the lack of the drug. If the drug were legal, it wouldn't. Somebody wouldn't have to go out and steal a $500 television set so they could pawn it for $50 and get a hit.
Exactly. Yeah, because that hit could be $5. Now,
right.
Is it cheap enough to where then they could go kill themselves? Well, yeah. But, you know, people are dying every day on legal pharmaceuticals that are prescribed
right.
to people.
Right.
That's
and how many people run into a tree?
Well, and
if this is what you want to do to yourself, that's your business.
Right.
But it should not be a legal thing. It can be a medical thing. You can put warnings. The Surgeon General has determined.
Right.
But don't make it a legal thing because it doesn't do any good. Doesn't work.
That's right.
The laws don't stop anything. They just make. I mean, there was a guy in Texas doing 20 years for a joint.
I know.
When
it's crazy.
I was traveling the country entertaining, I was offered an engagement in Lubbock, Texas. I said, nope.
You didn't even want to go close to the place, did you?
Nope. I said, nope.
I can understand that. You're afraid they might keep you.
No, thank you.
Well, real quick, we did play the song earlier about the Iowa pot. Real quick, give us a quick story about that. Then we're going to go to the song that we were talking about that I want everybody to hear that you sent me the vinyls on. And by the way, I'm going to not only, I think you did get the MP3 I sent you, but I'm burning
yes.
it so you can play it in your regular stereo for folks.
All
I'll
right.
get those CDs out to you. But
right.
In the meantime, real quick, tell us the quick story on Iowa Lot to Iowa Pot, the song that we played earlier.
Well, I spent a couple of years traveling. I had lived in New York. I knew I didn't want to stay in New York. And around 1971, I guess, I decided to leave New York and hit the road and become a vagabond troubadour. So I had my little VW bug, and I got myself some clothes from Greenwich Village, dashikis, and all kinds of goodies, little hippie things.
I was going to say, you were a hippie.
And I traveled. I have a picture of myself. One of the things I did was a cruise ship out of Miami, and I was, and we did the captain's dinner. Everybody
wow.
else was in a tux, so I was in a dashiki.
Wow.
I mean, that was after I wrote Iowa to Iowa. But I went on the road, and I spent two writing sessions in Iowa. The first one was I think Canton, Iowa. There was a Redemptorist monastery that they had deserted. It was empty, and a whole bunch of people that I knew, actually it was an organization of ex-convicts, it was called Church of the New Song, CONS, and I wrote a couple of things for them, as a matter of fact, and donated to them, but I stayed there with them, and this Redemptorist monastery was a beautiful place. Everything was there. They had wonderful beds and linens and rooms and cooking utensils, and everybody kicked in and did everything. And I sat and I stayed in what was the I guess their church, and there was a piano there, and I lived at that piano for a couple of weeks. And during that time, one of the things I wrote was Iowa Lot to Iowa Pot, and it was in Iowa. Somebody had brought some homegrown. It wasn't that good, but the idea for the song was obviously. I originally called it Iowa Lot to Iowa because I was writing, and then I said, wait a minute, Iowa Lot to Iowa Pot. What a great title.
Yeah.
What a wonderful title.
It is.
I couldn't resist it.
It should be the theme song for the movement in Iowa, which is trying to get marijuana rescheduled.
It's about to be rescheduled. I played that live.
I bet.
In a concert at the University of Iowa, and we almost brought down the rafters.
I bet.
It was wonderful. In that song, I wrote the most creative word I've ever written in any lyric.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
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 That's right.
It's so Jewish.
Yes.
I never cared much for domestic. I would always be turning it down. But I just smoked a joint so majestic. So fantastic. It's the best stick in town. Barbara Streisand heard that, by the way, and she loved it.
I bet.
Loved it. It was played for her by an A&R executive at Columbia who was an old friend of mine.
Wonderful.
He played it for her and Marty Ehrlichman, her manager. She loved it. She adored it. And Ehrlichman turned to her and said, no way.
She wanted to
no
sing it.
No way. No way. That was it.
Aww.
That was what he said, and that was it. I can't argue with that.
No.
I'm not saying that he was wrong. I'm just saying, too bad, because she would have made a great record of it.
Yes, she would have. Absolutely. Well, you know, I have to very quickly, of course, tell people that out of that, you made roach clips made out of, was it stainless steel material?
I needed to communicate with my children.
Yeah.
I needed to make sure that if I were gone, they would be able to see something. I would leave something behind. And I created, not out of stainless, there were some made out of stainless and some made out of basic steel that was plated. I created what has been considered by many people as the foremost roach clips the world has ever seen.
I agree.
They were just, it was to me an art form.
Absolutely.
I had people say to me, you don't just make the best roach clips, you make the only roach clips.
I agree.
You got to understand, those clips are very special.
I agree.
They are not just in looks, but the way they work.
I agree.
The points of the wire coming together. The whole thing was very, very artistic to me. And I'm so happy to have been able to do that. And I distributed them all over the country.
Yeah.
And the reason I did it is because I needed a vehicle to communicate with my kids. I had it. And High Times magazine helped me do it.
Wow.
They featured the clips in one of their magazines, and I put an ad in that magazine, and at the bottom of that ad, in real small print, it said, Scott and Eric, where are you?
Aww.
And they found it.
Aww.
And that's what eventually brought us back together.
Fantastic. Well, that's even, I didn't know that part. That is fantastic to know that part of the story.
Yeah.
And I'm very pleased to say that, you know, I've told you on the phone that I have the last one that I kept for myself, the Jewish Star Roach clip from you, because from one Jewish pot smoker to another. And I cherish it. I show it to people all the time. I'm very proud to own one of those. And
right.
I thank you for that. Well, listen, I'm going to cut to another song because this is the one that is my favorite. We're saving your favorite before you're done, but my favorite.
You know, my favorite is not really a song.
I know. We'll talk about that in a second, though, because
right.
I don't want to give it up yet. But we are going to play this one because you sent me the vinyls. It's the B-side of Iowa Lot to Iowa Pot on the old 45. You can't even find this out there, folks.
Right.
And it is such a great song. I love it.
It's just the piano and vocal demo. It is.
It is so beautiful, and it is. And you can tell, you know, your emotion is there because of what was going on at the time when you wrote this with your divorce and your kids when they were young. And I certainly hear the emotion behind it. So we're going to let the new guy over here roll in the pot, Chef Pot and Hash.
The new guy.
And the new guy. He hasn't been here for a long time, Jerry. He was in class, and he's now a real pastry chef, plays our Pottsbury Dope Boy, Chef Pot and Hash. So stay tuned. Of course, he's going to be doing a recipe here for our Hemp Rock Cafe segment before the end of the show. So stay on the line, of course, for that. But right now, folks, it is Hemp Rock Radio. We're going to be right back after this clip of a song, my favorite from Jerry Samuels. And, of course, as he wants to know, who are you to tell me not to smoke marijuana? Jerry, hang on the line. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Right. Who are you to tell me not to smoke marijuana? Now listen here, this is my country too, and I'm just as good as you, and you don't have my permission to tell me what to do to my mind and my bod, just like yours, a gift from God. So please, let me pick my poisons till they lay me in the sod. Now hold on, who are you to tell me not to smoke marijuana? Mr. Policeman, leave me alone. Go catch a crook, stop tapping my phone. Who are you to tell me not to smoke marijuana? Someone's at the door, quick, stash it away. Light up the incense and get out the spray. If I cause you no harm, why should you care what I farm?
just as long as I don't nick your nose. I want the right to swing my arm. Otherwise, I'm not free. And we've doomed democracy. It's your laws, not marijuana, that have made a slave of me. So wait a minute. Who are you to tell me not to smoke marijuana? Hey, Mr. Patriot, check it on out. Isn't that what liberty's all about? Who are you to tell me not to smoke marijuana? Turn off the light and pull down a shade. They got the dogs out looking for a raid. Who are you to tell me not to smoke marijuana? Do you wanna tell me what to think? Did I ever tell you not to drink? Who are you to tell me not to smoke marijuana? Now hold on.
If you have an encounter with police, MassCAN wants you to know your rights. What you say to the police officer is always important. What you say can be used against you, and if you mouth off in any way, it can give them a reason to arrest you. Be respectful. If you're in a car, you must show your driver's license and registration, but in other situations, you cannot be legally arrested for refusing to identify yourself. You don't have to answer an officer's questions. Never consent to any search of yourself, your car, or your house. If you do consent to a search, it will affect your rights later in court. If the cops say they have a search warrant, ask to see it. You should always exercise your right to remain silent. You have the right to have an attorney present during any questioning. Don't interfere with or obstruct the police, because you can get arrested for that. Ask the officer if you're free to leave. Remember, you're a busy person with people to meet and perhaps a job to get to. At MassCAN, we think that marijuana should be legal, taxed and regulated just like alcohol and cigarettes. But if you're under the influence of anything, leave the driving to somebody else. For more information, please visit our website at masscan.org. That's MASSCANN.ORG.
Hi, I'm the Burn Man, and this is Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WBQC LP Cincinnati 95.7 FM and WBQC.org, the voice of the Queen City.
How do you like the way Burn Man hogs the joint even when he's not here? Jerry, I'll tell you, if you don't know, folks, it is Hemp Rock Radio. I'm the Happy Hemptress, the Chef Potnash is rolling the pot now, and the Burn Man and Mr. Personalities are out there rolling in the car somewhere. But my guest, of course, in the studio, or on the phone here in the studio from Philadelphia, is Jerry Samuels, also known as Napoleon XIV. Jerry, what a fantastic song. I just love it.
Thank you.
Who are you to tell me not to smoke marijuana? If that doesn't say the emotion of what was going on with you in your mind at the time that you wrote that, you can hear it in your voice. It is so emotional, even for me.
You know, that thing was written 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's true. Every
today.
Every word of it is true right now.
Absolutely.
There's no change.
Nothing has changed.
Of course, you understand, when I wrote it, nobody would put it on the air. That was not possible. It would not be played.
Not at all.
There was nothing I could do. Nothing.
No. And probably even today, most stations wouldn't play it, except for
That's
a station
right.
like this.
Right.
So I am very, very honored to not only have the vinyls of it, but be able to play it for our listeners today. And, you know, it'll be up as an archive on the WEED radio network for the show, and people can hear that. But I do want to ask you if I can use it for our show promos and things like that.
You can use anything of mine anytime you want.
Wonderful.
In any way you want. If there's any way I can help you, Lynn, please don't even bother to ask. My guest.
And vice versa, because your story has been told by so many, many other people in their experiences. Potnash was just mentioning that he had similar incidences with his ex-wife years ago, where she also, you were saying.
Yeah, I mean, my ex-wife, she used to smoke marijuana with me. And
right.
when we got divorced, I mean, she didn't bring it up in court because I could have slammed her right back.
Right.
But she straight out told my children, "Oh, he smokes weed. You don't want to go see your dad on this weekend."
That's exactly what happened to me.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, even some people in my family are opposed to what I do as an activist.
We ate hash together, my ex-wife and me. The only trouble is I loved it and she hated it. She got scared.
Oh, see, that happens, yeah. She probably got too high. Too high, that happens.
Probably.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Tommy Chong, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio.
Hi, I'm Cheech Marin, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC.org.
Cincinnati, 95.7 FM.
That really wasn't Chong.
Now, I want everybody to know what you're doing now, because I know this has been your career. You've been sound engineer, and you've done a lot of other stuff as a musical artist. So what are you doing now? I know you have the Jerry Samuels Agency. Explain to people what that is and what you're doing.
The agency has been in existence for about 26 years now. And it's a Delaware Valley service. It's a local service. We are regional, and we service in mostly senior facilities. We send entertainment into all kinds of organizations and residences, nursing homes, retirement communities, church groups, civic groups, clubs, any kind of senior congregation. And we do private parties as well and other things, but primarily senior entertainment. And we've got hundreds of performers. All kinds, everything you can think of.
Fantastic.
Musicians, clowns, jugglers, lecturers, everything.
And you started out doing this yourself 26 years ago, playing
the piano.
I
started doing it about over 30 years ago.
I see.
And I became very popular. I started to perform in senior facilities. I hated the bars.
Yeah.
I hated the bars. And I wanted to get out of them, so I was performing, and I did a couple of senior facilities, and we knew right away this was where I was going to wind up. I mean, I just loved it.
Good.
It's a wonderful thing to do, and
I
loved it. They loved me, and I said, "Okay, I'm home."
It's a shame you can't have that agency grow throughout the whole country, because I can assure you.
I'm not even thinking about that.
I'm very happy
doing what I can. As a matter of fact, when we had our 10th anniversary, which was 16 years ago, I invited two dozen of my clients and their dates to a party, an evening of entertainment and open bar and prime rib and all of that stuff, and I took that opportunity to thank them all sincerely for the privilege of working in my underwear.
Pot and Hash has a question for you.
So, yeah. Jerry, if anybody out there wants to keep up with what you're doing in your daily life, do you have a website that tells about upcoming projects? And if you want to, would you please give that out for us?
Sure. It's JERYSAM. That's Jerry Sam with one R.
Oh, I thought it was two. Sorry about that.
JerrySam.com. And they can also call me, and I will pick up the phone. I'm very easily reachable. 800-JERRY-SAM or 215-JERRY-SAM. My fax number is 215-JERRY-FAX. And my email is jerrysam@jerrysam.com.
And that is one R. I didn't realize that.
Well, my name is spelled with two R's, but since we wanted the phone number to be Jerry Sam,
I see.
We needed to do one R.
I totally understand. People think I'm crazy because I've got all kinds of words for my telephone numbers.
Oh, I thought it's great.
My cell phone is Growbud, 513 Growbud, for people that don't know that.
I know.
And things like that. So, well, we've only got a few more minutes left, so I want you to know that I have been so thrilled and I've just been so excited. I almost couldn't sleep waiting to do this interview with you because I love chatting with you. I know it's been a long time. And I wanted to, of course, thank you for my very special Hanukkah gifts that you gave me, the vinyl 45s of Who Are You to Tell Me Not to Smoke Marijuana. That is my best favorite ever Hanukkah gifts. Let me just tell you that.
Thank you.
And belated Hanukkah to you as well. Or should I say Hanukkah. And I especially plan to talk to you
off the air because I want to, at some point, get you on my phone through my studio and get you to do a studio or station ID for us. How would you like to do that for
us? I'll be glad to do that for you.
And get in the likes of Cheech and Chong, who did that for us. And I think if anybody should be a part of our show all the time, it would be you. But Pot and Hash is waving his finger at me, so I guess it's almost time to go. We got to get our out song in. But Jerry, tell your wife, Bobby, thank you very much for helping. And I will, of course, as I promised, I will get T-shirts to both of you from the show and stuff, and stay in contact with you because I'd love to have you on again in the future. And thanks very much for celebrating the end of 2010 with us in the beginning.
Thank you for having me, Lynn.
The beginning of 2011. Let's hope that the next couple of years changes our country and our world with our issue, and we can free the weed and free the people and free the mind.
Right.
So thank you, Jerry, very, very much. Have a wonderful New Year's, and let's hope that better things are to come in the new year.
I hope so. Thank you again, Lynn.
Thank you very much. And
all
for
right.
those that missed it, of course, WEED Radio Network will have the archive. Jerry, you have a great day. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, folks, it is Hemp Rock Radio. I'm the Happy Hemptress. And, of course, rolling the pot now and weeks to come is Chef Pot and Hash. And, of course, the Pottsbury Dope Boy with the Hemp Rock Cafe and the Pottsbury Bakery. Well, folks, we will see you, of course, same time, same place here at WVQC-LP Cincinnati. Low power to the people. Radio by the people, for the people.
To hear this program in its entirety, you can go to weedradionetwork.com for the original archive. Look for December 28th show with Jerry Samuels. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow, folks. Tomorrow's guest will be Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com and Willie Nelson's National Teapot Party, as well as interviews with Cincinnati City Council members who helped overturn Cincinnati's marijuana ordinance. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress, the Burn Man, and the Pottsbury Dope Boy Pot and Hash. Speaking for the legalization of marijuana. Hemp Rock Radio airs Mondays and Tuesdays from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern on WVQC-LP. Find Hemp Rock Radio archives at weedradionetwork.com.
Watch Hemp Rock TV on Northern Kentucky's Insight Cable Channel 21, Cincinnati's Time Warner Cable Channel 4 and 24, and now online at weedradionetwork.com.
You can join the Hemp Rockers list at HempRock.com and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP. To help end Cincinnati's harmful marijuana ordinance, please visit CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. That's CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. Hemp Rock Radio, the Pottsbury Bakery, and Hemp Rock Cafe are brought to you by Hemp Rock Productions. Thanks for listening to Hemp Rock Radio and Radio Free Queen City, a member of Media Bridges Community Media Center on 95.7 FM WVQC-LP Cincinnati. WVQC-LP broadcasts from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios. You can listen online, become a member, and support the station at WVQC.org. Coming up next on WVQC-LP is Jay Allday with Cincinnati's Conscience, where hippie meets the hood.
WVQC, people-powered radio.